Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's pain-free Friday for all stolen minutes on a mahogany, waxing it up 100. 200, the bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around her, but a bad adder, bad tape, bad lie, bad new, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palatial, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves hurricane type rains, typhoon type rains, as long as she's got a 90s Dodge Sativa in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, stupid. I'm up in the camera, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs up down, what a mess, tops out of my brain, spattered all over Manhattan. Shake it up, stupid. Yeah. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell, along with Carver High, Mafia, AJ Foyt running it. Usually, we roll through the stories. We roll through the meaningless birthdays of famous people. But today, we will halt all of the nonsense and immediately dive in with the mad scientist. The one and only Warren Sharp. Styling again. Look at him. The fans clamor for him. There were people complaining yesterday like they were talking about the government shutdown. People livid that Warren wasn't on the Thursday edition so that they could get primed for the Thursday nighter at Lambeau. Instead, you had to deal with my painful ass. But I hit the Lions minus the 1.5. So here's looking at you, kid. All right, Warren, good to see you. Let's dive in. What did you think of that performance in the first half by the Lions? And overall, as we welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Byline, their radio affiliates, Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego, near Tijuana, Tijuana. Again, Warren, what did you think of the Lions first half and overall Montgomery dealing last night? Over a buck 20, three touchdowns. He had it all going.
He did. And, you know, the interesting thought I had heading into this game was Jared Goff's home road splits. They're no joke. And Jared Goff just got off of two straight home games. So how is he going to perform on the road? And right away, he comes out and throws that interception. In total, he only threw for, I think, 210 yards, only threw that one touchdown. But this was utter domination by the Detroit Lions. It started up front for them on the defensive side of the ball. We could talk a lot about the offense because they scored a lot of points, but they absolutely plastered this Green Bay offense, shut them down, got pressure on Love. Really, their front four causes so much havoc. I think it's a very underrated aspect when we talk about the international game. We'll talk about what the Falcons had to deal with last week, but this Detroit Lions defense against the run allows some of the lowest yards before contact per rush attempt, which is a very good predictor of how much penetration they're getting upon opposing offensive lines and then how many yards per carry those running backs are going to get. They completely stifled the Green Bay rushing attack and made them be one-dimensional with Love. And, you know, this Green Bay Packers passing offense, they're very much a hit or miss down the field, trying to shoot for explosives or some pass interference. And if they don't get those, they have very little consistency underneath to execute. So that's a problem when you're not hitting some of those downfield shots and you can't run the football. I was shocked to see the Lions take the late money. I was shocked to see the crowd so full of Lions fans. This was a humongous game within the division, just like we're going to talk about the Dolphins and the Patriots in a little bit. A big game for them too. And certainly the Lions really gave themselves a favor by winning that one in comfortable fashion. Destroyed all the Green Bay teasers. I wasn't on any side or total in this one. I couldn't really grasp, get my head around where I saw value here. But I did hit a couple of props and it started off the week well.
Yeah, I had two of them, Ross St. Brown and Montgomery, both with anytime tutties. So I hit both of those, hit the spread, and I was out the back door. I wanted to ask you, because I noticed as well, the weakness up front from Green Bay. Obviously, you elaborated on it, but the push they got on Love, I mean, he had literally running for his life. He had no time to do anything, and he got exploited. He didn't know what to do with that pressure. He was making some disastrous plays early because of that. I mean, it was coming right up the middle from both tackles. They were just punishing them, and you knew it was going to be a long night for them.
Yeah, they were down multiple offensive linemen. The problem for the Packers is that they're not getting David Bakhtiari back anytime soon because they announced on game day Thursday yesterday that he was going on the IR, and there's rumors that he could miss the entire season. So we're not sure when he's going to get back his stud tackle. And, you know, they were not able to keep that pass rush off of him. And the key thing about, like, you can talk about the Green Bay Packers, but this is true for a lot of teams in the NFL because so many teams, the mindset is starting these quarterbacks younger. So you got a lot of young quarterbacks across the league. And earlier today, I tweeted out, Scott, the total margin of points that teams are up or down by at halftime. And it's surprising how a lot of these teams with the younger quarterbacks are falling in such big deficits at halftime that they really have no way to dig themselves back out of it. The key that a lot of these coaches of some teams that have younger quarterbacks, less experienced quarterbacks, like, you know, Young or in Carolina, like Bryce Love, like Jordan Love here in Green Bay, and a variety of other teams around the league, even teams like Daniel Jones with the New York Giants, the Atlanta Falcons with Desmond Ridder. These coaches, they don't want their quarterbacks throwing the ball a ton. They know their quarterbacks don't have the experience to read defenses. They don't want them reading defenses all game long and trying to figure it out. So they try to support them by running the football. But the problem is, if you run the football and you're getting stuffed and you're giving the other team good field position and they don't have to drive as far to score points, and then they are scoring those points, you are going to be down. And everything that you wanted to do, which is to limit my quarterback from having to pass the ball, now you can't do whatsoever because you're down in the second half and you have no option but to just sit back and predictably pass the football. So you really do need some of these teams, like Arthur Smith down in Atlanta, or like Matt LaFleur here in Green Bay. They got to come up with some better, I don't want to call it trick plays, but scheme some things early in the game in the game script,
right,
to break off some big explosive plays. Get some spark here to move the ball easier, to make life easier on your quarterback so that in the second half he's not dropping back to pass down double digits in predictable situations.
So, yeah, I mean, he even said it after the game, Love. He's like, we start slow, and it's just – it's a slippery slope, like climbing back into a game. Were you surprised last week when they were down 17 to that great Saints defense? And I'll say it, 11 straight games under 20 points. That's solid D to me. Were you surprised, even though Carr went down, famous Jameis, I didn't think did anything, but they came back in that game down 17 and won 18-17. Were you surprised?
Well, I certainly was surprised because they were scoring so late in the fourth quarter. But, you know, they were getting their two-point conversions and they were fortunate to be in that situation. But that type of thing absolutely is not something repeatable, bankable. And like you said, I think if Derek Carr doesn't go down, that never happens. So you can't just predict and hope, well, yeah, maybe if the offense, the quarterback on the other side gets knocked out, then we'll convert all these two-point conversions and end up winning the game by one. Like, you got to play from ahead. So that was a surprise last week. Certainly didn't expect that to happen again once they got down here.
When we come back, I mean, we got Warren the whole hour, like you read about. It's big news. We're gonna talk about the Bills and the Dolphins. You gotta be kidding me. This is a 1 o'clock game. Who screwed that up? We'll talk Niners, Zona, New Orleans, Tampa. It's time for Coast to Coast with Warren Stylin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Couple things real quick. If you don't have the SportsGrid app, you're a loser. Honestly, just look in the mirror and say, I am a loser. Because you don't have the free app on iOS or Play Store, Android, and you haven't, like, caught up with us. Bro, we got every single thing you can imagine on this. The TV viewing, the radio listening. You get both. We got everything. Stories, highlights, videos, analytics. Warren Sharp. You can follow Warren on there and get everything that comes out of his mouth. The entire week, we got thousands of clips of Warren Sharp. What's better than that? You can follow Pharrell. And then we got odds, in-game odds. It's insane. It's free. F-R-E-E for the Pharrell. Free for the Pharrell. Free. You don't have the app. Look in the mirror. I am a loser. All right. Lastly, I got to tell you about BetMGM's $1,500 first bet offer because it's so sickening and kick-ass. Let's just get down to business. It's for all new users. Download the app on iOS or Android in the Play Store, BetMGM.com. Sign up, deposit at least $10 into your account. Place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Did you hear me, Romeo? You bet $700, you're going to get $700 back. You bet a dime, you're going to get a dime back. You bet $1,500, you're going to get $1,500 back in bonus bets if your bet loses. That is beautiful. Your bonus bets will be available once the wager is settled. So calm down. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. It's the greatest thing ever invented, the BetMGM app. Honestly, it's bigger than the Edson Diesel and the airplane. All right, Warren, Miami and Buffalo. I don't know who screwed this up, but this should be a Sunday night game. Prime time for the whole world, like 15, 20 million people watching. 1 o'clock while I'm on with Morenci. Somebody's got to be in trouble at the network. Somebody.
Yeah, well, I've got a conspiracy theory we'll get to later in the show when we talk about that Sunday night game. But yeah, I agree. At least put this in the 4 p.m. slot. Don't stick another 8-9 games on at the same time. We need to be able to focus on this one. And what I'm really focused on this one is what do the Bills decide to do from a pass rush perspective against the Miami Dolphins? Because the Buffalo Bills right now, they are blitzing at the lowest rate of any team in the league, but they're getting the most natural pressure of any team in the league. That's a great thing. Now, they've gone up against three terrible offensive lines, but let's put that to the side for a second. Let's talk about what they are trying to do here defensively. They don't want to blitz, but they're getting a lot of pressure. When they do blitz, which is the lowest rate of the NFL, they get the lowest rate of pressure on those blitzes. So it's actually a good thing that they are deciding not to blitz as much. The problem becomes that when you don't blitz Tua, you're opening yourself up not to just a ton of efficiency, but a lot of production down the field. Because when Tua is blitzed, his air yards per attempt drops down in the 6 range. Whereas when he's not being blitzed, his air yards per attempt is over 10. And so he averages over 10 yards per pass attempt. And so he's pushing the ball down the field more, having more success. And his EPA, all of his efficiency statistics are significantly better when he is not being blitzed. Last year, the Buffalo Bills had a very low blitz rate, but in their game against the Dolphins, blitzed at a 31% clip. When they did not blitz, Tua had a lot of success against them, over 9 yards per attempt, and that was last year. This year, he's playing even better right now. So the key question to me is, do the Bills decide, like they did last year, and ramp up the blitz rate? And if they do decide to do that, are they going to get anything better than the league's worst rate of pressure, which is what they've delivered thus far when they choose to blitz? I don't know that it's like a really good, it's basically like a pick your poison scenario for the Buffalo Bills pass rush against this Dolphins offense. The Buffalo Bills, this defense has looked good. It's looked strong, but they have yet to play a team that doesn't either rank bottom 5 in pass offense or bottom 5 in run offense or bottom 5 in both. They've played a lot of bad offenses year to date. Now they play the Dolphins, who are number 1 in pass, number 1 in rush, number 1 overall, number 2 inside of the red zone. The teams that the Bills have played, they can't score points when they get to the red zone. All of them rank 10th worst or worse in the red zone. So I think the Dolphins have a lot of opportunities here. The key question then becomes, what are the Bills going to do? Can they match? Can they outscore the Dolphins? And I think there is the real interesting question as to what strategy do they take offensively with Josh Allen? Because in the past, it's been deeper passing, less running. But the way that Vic Fangio is playing his defense allows for a lot of the underneath passing and allows for some production on the ground. Just think about what the Chargers did in week 1 and how successful they were. They even shifted away from passing the ball to run the ball more with Austin Eckler because they were having so much success on the ground. That very well could happen in this game here. And actually, it plays right into the way that the Bills offense is strategizing themselves on the season. ever since that week one game, we have not seen Josh Allen be throwing the ball down the field nearly as much. His target depth is lower. Their run rate is higher. They're a little bit more methodical on offense. All of those things should have success against this Vic Fangio Miami Dolphins defense. So to me, the question is not, will these offenses have success? The only question that I have in this game is how many possessions and how slow will these offenses go? How methodical will they be? Because I do see production. I just don't know if they're quick enough or pass heavy enough to exceed this high point total of 53.5.
So listen, the speed of the Dolphins is just, it's so dangerous. The way they're just blowing by defenses. They threw for over 300, ran for over 300. They're running the ball down teams' throats and they're passing. And they get Waddle back from concussion protocol, making him the team even faster. I know that Josh Allen has allegedly owned the Dolphins, 9 of 10? And I think the Bills have looked great the last 2 weeks. They look like themselves. But this is a different beast they're facing this time in Miami.
Yeah, and I like to throw the old stuff out, all those old stats. I mean, some people are saying, oh, well, Sean McDermott's defense has had some success against Tua. Look, I am not taking into consideration whatsoever what Tua did with Chan freaking Gailey as his offensive coordinator. I'm not taking into consideration at all what Tua did when he had George Godsey and Eric Studesville as co-offensive coordinators under Brian Flores as the head coach. Throw all of that out. All we care about is what does this modern form Dolphins offense look like? I agree. They're fast. They're unpredictable. They're pulling new stops out every single week. I think it's going to be interesting how Sean McDermott is trying to defend them. Keep in mind, Sean McDermott got rid of Leslie Frazier, is now calling plays himself. He's putting that burden on his shoulders. This is one of the first times that he's going to have to go up against an elite offense. How does he fare in this game? Does he hurt his own offense by getting them to play even slower and more predictable on the ground to try to control the clock, so to speak, and help his defense stay off the field? You know, all these things are fascinating questions. I wish we had more time to talk about this game. And I also agree, wish that this game was later in the day so we could focus on it a little bit more.
Who do you like in the game? Like, just off the top of your head on this Friday, like, are you leaning either way yet, or where are you on this?
So I can tell you a lot of the sharp money that I really respect is coming in and backing the Buffalo Bills, while the public money is certainly, after that 70-point performance, coming in and backing the Miami Dolphins. I did not have numbers from my models to support going over the total. It's hard to get me to want to look under the total. My number was basically right around the total. I'm trying to come up with logical reasons not to bet the over, because that is absolutely what I'm gravitating towards when I'm looking at these offenses and the edges they have over their defenses. I just wonder about pace primarily.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to hit them all. We'll start with San Francisco Zona and the Saints, Tampa Bay. We got Warren Sharp for the rest of the hour. Don't go anywhere, Slick. He gives you all his hitting.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Couple of things. If you're not on at Sharp Football, shame on you for 6 weeks. If you're not on sharpfootballanalysis.com, no wonder your mother barely calls you. Honestly, she thinks you're a loser too. You need to get in the game, son. This stuff's easy. I told you about the app. That's free. And this stuff's like the most important stuff on earth. It's more important than the Bible. Honestly. Get in the game. I mean, and Warren's had about enough of the excuses, too. He's all about getting ready for games. He got no time for your candy-ass excuses while you're not on his website. Honestly, I mean, it is disappointing. I get these letters. San Francisco playing at home against Zona, that dangerous Zona team, after they cost me money last week against Dallas. I don't know what to think of them, Warren.
Well, they are being unpredictable. They really had some assistance, though, from Mike McCarthy and his completely inept and incompetent play calling down inside of the red zone. The Dallas Cowboys moved the ball up to the red zone at one of the best rates in the NFL. They have the most drives that reach the red zone. And then when they get there, McCarthy cannot convert. And the funny part is he comes and pats himself on the back after week one in the interviews and after week two in the interviews on the field immediately after the games, saying how great it is to call plays again, how fun it is to call plays. He's making those comments when the defense basically wins in week one and week two's games. So he doesn't need help from the offense in those games. And then when the offense actually needs to get out there and score points and convert inside of the red zone, his play calling is nowhere to be found. But that's another game we'll discuss the Dallas Cowboys later as they play the New England Patriots this week. Let's focus in on the San Francisco 49ers here against the Cardinals. And one of the things about the Arizona Cardinals defense is they are not blitzing and they're not getting pressure. They're bottom six in both blitz rate and pressure rate. The thing about Brock Purdy is on a short week last week, he went up against the New York Giants. The New York Giants have the highest blitz rate in the NFL. They're sending guys from all over the place trying to confuse quarterbacks. Brock Purdy still had a good game against them and threw for over 300 yards. But now he gets to go up against a Cardinals team that's not blitzing, that doesn't get a lot of pressure, and that's where Brock Purdy tends to shine. Brock Purdy, number two in EPA per dropback, number two in success rate, number two in yards per attempt, and number five in completion rate when he is not pressured. The key element to this game is that they're going to probably be without Debo Samuel. I don't know if it's 100%, but based upon the line movement that I just saw for the total, dropping down from 44 down to 43.5 and maybe some 43s, indicate to me that Debo Samuel is likely to be out. Hopefully they get Brandon Ayuk back, who missed last week's game, because they're going to need him against this defense where you should have some success passing the football and moving the ball. The Arizona Cardinals are very unpredictable offensively. They're changing some things up. They're trying some things. When they're shorthanded and don't have quite the level of talent and they got a quarterback like Josh Dobbs, that's what you have to do. The other interesting element to me in this game is that if and when the Arizona Cardinals get down into the red zone, somehow the San Francisco 49ers run defense, very uncharacteristically, ranks number 31 in pretty much every single rushing efficiency metric in the red zone. And that's going to provide some upside, I think, for James Conner to potentially squeak out a rushing touchdown in this game. I actually like the over. Now, we bet it earlier in the week at 42. I still see value at 43. If this number comes down because there's no Debo Samuel, I would still look to go over the total in this game. The 49ers have been a machine scoring points with Brock Purdy. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals defense is going to stop them unless they get Mike McCarthy to suddenly radio in the play calls down inside of the red zone. I think the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan are going to be able to put up enough points, and the Cardinals in chase mode are certainly going to be able to do their part to get us over a 43-point total if that's where this line settles. Keep in mind, 43 is a key total. That's a key number. So if you just wait for the under money to come in after Debo and then look closer to game time to get a 43, or maybe, who knows, even it goes down to 42.5.
I mean, it changes everything. If Debo and Ayuk aren't out there, I mean, they're naked. Yeah,
if Ayuk's, agree. If Ayuk's not there, that changes my handicap too. I'm okay with one of the two not there. If both guys aren't there, that becomes more of an issue.
So, speaking of not there, I'm assuming Derek Carr can't go with that shoulder, and they're going to have to go with famous Jameis. And I got to tell you, I think Tampa's going to have problems scoring against that defense. I still think they're going to be in that game no matter who's playing quarterback. How do you feel about it on Bourbon Street?
I completely agree. It's one of the reasons why I like the under in this game. I think that you've got this Saints team that plays extremely solid defense, and they're not quite as good as they maybe were a couple of years ago, but they are still certainly one of the best in the NFL. And you've got a Tampa Bay offense that has thrived on third downs. Baker Mayfield has had a lot of success on third down, where he's number two in efficiency, number two in first down conversion rate when he passes the football. But early downs, he has not been efficient, like 20, 21, 22 in that range, near bottom 10 in terms of his early down efficiency. Well, he's been very fortunate to go up against some terrible defenses against third down passes. But that's not who the Saints are. They're a top 10 defense against third down passes. I think the Saints, they've got a long-standing track record, though not against this offense because Dave Canales runs a different offense, but against the personnel. They've had a lot of success limiting the scoring of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially in New Orleans in these games. We saw those games where Tom Brady would go in there as a favorite and put up 0 points in the first half, or a field goal, or maybe seven if he's lucky. In fact, they haven't scored more than 7 points in any first half against the New Orleans Saints in their last seven games that they've played, which plays into a bet that I like, which is the under in the first half. I think that there's less scoring. Now, here you have to wait. Again, I'm not staring at the screen right now. I'm staring at a camera. But if I were staring at the screen, I could tell you if this still was 19 and a half in the first half. I don't like this as much if it's at 19 and a half. Just wait. Maybe there's a little bit of over money that trickles in because the Buccaneers have some injuries in their secondary. And if that's the case, we might see a little bit of over money in this game. I wouldn't like under 20 quite as much if the Bucs were down some of their starters in their secondary. But it's still probably where I would lean a little bit in this one. You do have these unpredictable quarterbacks like Jameis Winston and like Baker Mayfield. Hopefully they don't give the opposing defense short fields to work with their offense on. But I do like the under. I think points are going to be at a premium.
The Steelers' pass rush against the Raiders was phenomenal. T.J. Watt's a badass. He's going to be going after C.J. Stroud, who I really like. He's the first Ohio State quarterback to me in 30 years that's really showing that he means business. Size, strength, arm strength, reads, not throwing picks, playing smart, cannon. He is, you know, really playing ball. But they're going to be after him. What do you think happens at NRG in Houston with that pass rush to the Steelers against Stroud?
Yeah, and I know you're a Steelers backer, and you had to be happy watching that game against McDaniels the other day. Josh McDaniels with the just total moron with his decision making there late provides a lot of enjoyment as you're following along on Twitter, but must be terrible having him as your head coach if you're a Raiders backer. But as it relates to this game, I absolutely think that we're going to see the Steelers have a lot of success in getting pressure on C.J. Stroud. The problem with the Steelers, though, is when they don't get pressure. They have massive splits defensively in their secondary. When they get pressure, they're number four to number seven in that range in basically every stat, EPA success rate, completion rate, etc. But when that pressure doesn't get home and a quarterback is able to throw without pressure, this pass defense drops to number 25 in EPA per attempt, number 31 in success rate, number 27 in yards per attempt. This is the wheelhouse that C.J. Stroud lives in. He is not nearly as good, nor are most rookies, when they are being pressured. But the few times that he is kept clean, he is phenomenal. In fact, across the entire NFL, the only quarterback that's better than C.J. Stroud in EPA per play through 3 weeks when not pressured is Tua. And Tua has obviously just put up 70 points last week. He's the quarterback everybody's talking about. C.J. Stroud is number two. He's number two in rate of passing beyond the sticks, number four in third down conversion rate when he's not pressured. This Texans line is in shambles, though. They played with four backups last week. I don't know how many backups they'll have to play with this week. It's probably close to three to four at least. And that's going to be a problem here, but there are going to be opportunities for him to shine to get against the Steelers defense that stinks when you can't get pressure. Stroud will have some success. I also like this element with regard to the offense that they are utilizing. Their offensive play caller is a new play caller, of course. Bobby Slowick came from the 49ers. He saw the 49ers game plan against the Steelers week one. He started utilizing a lot more 21 personnel with a fullback on the field during pass plays last week in Jacksonville. It opened up some more time for C.J. Stroud to pass the ball. Pay close attention when you're watching this game to how many times the fullback is on the field for the Houston Texans and how often they pass out of those groupings. I think that the total is able to squeak over in this one.
Wow. So, but you know, you're talking about that line that it's patchwork. It was bad last week, but they win because they own the Jags and Jacks. And then now you're saying God only knows who they're going to have out there this week. They're not stopping Watt, Highsmith, Holcomb in that pass rush. And it went from 3.5 to 2.5. Do you think people are crazy to bet the Steelers here to get it done in Houston?
No, I know the sharp money is definitely on the Houston Texans. I prefer taking the over. I have question marks about the Steelers offense, but I don't know that the Texans defense is going to slow them down and hold them to 20 or less points. As a result, I think if the Texans are going to make this game competitive and potentially cover it, the better bet is going over the low total here.
So Warren has always told me that he loves breakfast at Tiffany's, which we got another one across the pond in London with the international series. It's the Falcons and Jags. So you got to get up early, 9:30 kick in the East Coast. We'll talk about that game next and get into Denver, Chicago. What a thrill that'll be for everyone in the Chicagoland area to see those two great teams go at it at Soldier Field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And that would mean, Warren, that I hate the Ravens, but I respect Lamar because he's a badass. I definitely hate the Bungles. And I loathe the Browns. I just wanted to say that. All right, in London, Atlanta and Jax, breakfast at Tiffany's, 9:30 kick. Here we go with the early games, the international series. What do you think of this one? I thought the Falcons got rubbed out by the Lions, and I thought the Jags looked terrible against Houston again.
Well, yes, both of those things are true. And it's part of the reason why it's imperative that the Atlanta Falcons come out and start a little bit faster in this game. Should we be shocked right now that the Falcons struggled in Detroit against the Lions? I don't think so. In hindsight, no, because that run defense is just that good. Fortunately for the Atlanta Falcons, the Jacksonville Jaguars run defense is not anywhere near as good as what the Detroit Lions had. I think the Falcons are going to have more success on the ground, but they can't just stay conservative and just hope to convert on third downs with Desmond Ridder. We've already seen that Desmond Ridder is not that guy to come back in these games and win when trailing. You've got to build him a cushion. You do that through hitting on some creative, explosive plays, potentially when the Jaguars are expecting a run play to be called, then you get him over the top, maybe some more opportune situations. So Arthur Smith got to utilize a little bit more creativity in his offensive design early in games to build the lead. On the other side of the ball, Trevor Lawrence has just been off by a tick here and there. They've been stepping out of bounds, one foot in, not catching the football in the end zone. Some of these things are going to get back on track eventually for the Jaguars. There's been sharp money that's come in on the Jacksonville Jaguars here, ATS. I don't have anything on that side. I'm looking at nothing in this game. Probably be looking to back a few props because what is more fun than waking up, eating breakfast, and having a little bit of action. But I don't see enough value on either side in this one. I think the number is perfect.
So Denver and Chicago. I kind of feel like karma's bit Sean Payton after he stuck a knife in Hackett's back in the coaching fraternity, talking about how horrible he is as a coach and the worst coaching job in NFL history. And now Sean has superseded that.
Yeah, I mean, like when you blame the prior struggles of your offense on the coaching, it says that the players themselves are okay. They were coached poorly. Well, now you see that they are performing just as poorly this year. They've got to turn some things around because otherwise, absolutely, it's going to be Sean Payton's fault here when he already blamed the prior coaching regime. They've got opportunities. This Bears defense is bad, and this Bears defense is missing key guys who were injured last week against the Kansas City Chiefs when they gave up points left and right. Even when the Chiefs weren't even trying to score necessarily, they were getting assistance because the Chicago Bears offense was so bad. They were either going three and out super quickly or turning the ball over, setting up short fields for the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for a get right spot for the Denver Broncos. I have no interest though in laying the points with the Denver Broncos here. I wouldn't bet against them. I think they probably win this game, but I have no desire to get my money involved in it until I see it to believe it, that this offense really can turn some things around. Because I mean, it's been a couple weeks now as well since we've heard the Chicago Bears are going to change some things. They're going to look a little bit better, and they tried out the same exact offense they brought, you know, the first couple of weeks into week three.
So I did the same thing this week on Coast to Coast. I'm not touching either one of these teams. I'm not betting money on this game. You can have it. Ravens go to the dog pound, Warren.
Yeah, the Ravens go to the dog pound, and this ref is a good under referee. I think it's very important to understand, not base any one bet on a ref, but incorporate that into your process. And you look at this game, there's big question marks right now. The key story is Deshaun Watson going to play or not? Different rumors back and forth as to whether he is going to play. We're still not sure. It's Friday afternoon. We still don't know if he's actually going to be up or not. I believe they're going to put him down as questionable. But we might see Dorian Thompson-Robinson in this one if we don't see Deshaun. But Deshaun is saying to reporters that he thinks he's going to play. So who knows right now? The bottom line is if he is out, that changes everything that his offense is going to try to do. They're probably going to be running the ball more. They're probably going to be throwing it shorter. I mean, keep in mind, they're chucking the ball down the field with Deshaun Watson. Part of the reason why he gets pressured a lot is because he's trying to throw the ball way down the field. Well, I don't think that's going to be the game plan if they've got a young quarterback in there in his stead. They've got such a ferocious defense, though, that they might not need to do very much. And I was very disappointed in the Ravens last week, not trying to test the weakness of that Colts defense, which was their secondary, instead resorting to more run plays. The Ravens are still without Rashad Bateman. They're still without Odell Beckham Jr. Some of their weapons down the field, they just don't have that explosiveness that we thought we were going to get with this new offensive coordinator. And as a result, it's going to be hard for either team to really gain a whole lot of separation to force their opponent to feel like they need to get desperate. I tend to look at the under in this game as well.
Yeah, Odell's getting press dating Kim Kardashian, not playing football. Same thing with him, as usual, injured. Honestly, between Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift, I can't keep up with all the pop stars and where they're going to be going to games. Bengals, Titans, by the way, nice job by the Titans in Cleveland last week. I thought they looked terrific. That's two teams they've held to 3 points, Warren. That defense means business. But you have nailed Tennessee like no other. They're back home again, and they were getting points. The last time you were right then, against the Chargers, right? And now here we go again. Are they going to do it again?
Yeah, the key here is Joe Burrow is going to be taking a lot of pass attempts. My favorite look in this game is Joe Burrow over his pass attempts prop, because they aren't going to have any success running the football. So rather than taking the Tennessee Titans here and hoping that they outperform the Cincinnati Bengals, which I think that there is a very good chance that they do, although Treylon Burks just got ruled out, that's going to be a problem. I think that they are going to have to drop back and pass the ball a ton will Joe Burrow's offense. They're not going to have success. Seeing to props come in on Mixon's rushing yardage under, I think that's a good bet. I also think Burrow is going to be passing the ball fairly frequently. You can do some ladders on the Jamar Chase props, you know, over 60, over 70, over 80, and each one of those provides a little bit more of a payout. But certainly we're going to need to see a game plan just like last week against the Rams, but that was at home against the Rams. The Titans have a much better defense, a much better defensive front, and a better pass rush than do the Rams. All those things mean that we're going to see a very one-dimensional offense, in my opinion, from the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Vrabel usually has his guys prepared, especially off after a loss like that. There'd be no way that I would be looking to lay it with the Cincinnati Bengals here. I just don't have a ton of confidence in the Titans offense right now, but that's the direction that I would be looking, but I prefer this prop a little bit more.
The Rams are in Indy. They're getting Richardson back, the Colts.
Yeah, and look, I like what Richardson brings to the game plan in terms of his ability to run with the football. But my big question becomes, he just had a concussion that sidelined him for a game and a half. Are they going to encourage the same type of running immediately after that? Because what did we see happen with Tua? We saw Tua just a year ago, you know, multiple times he's getting concussed and then it becomes a big spotlight. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, Tua, we got to sit you down for the rest of the year. Are you even going to be able to play football again? And keep in mind, the way that Richardson's concussion was reported was he self-reported it. So he obviously has that awareness like himself. Hey, something's not right. I got to go out. So is he going to be, if the coaches don't restrict him a little bit, is he going to restrict himself saying, I can't get another concussion here. It's only week four of my rookie season. I don't know. But what I do know is that I would lean a little bit more towards the Rams here. I got to check the final injury reports. The Colts have a very good run defense. Their front is having some success there. But I think that we could get a short, quick passing attack from Matthew Stafford, and he's had a lot of success and exceeded expectations this season in doing that. Didn't have a great game last week, but the prior couple of weeks did just fine throwing the football down the field. I think this game maybe goes a little bit to the Rams. It's a cheap number for them to take right now, and I worry about whether Richardson is able to really expand the offense like he did the first game and a half before he got that concussion.
Yeah, I don't want to miss this Dallas Pats breakdown by you or that Kansas City Jets Sunday night game. What do you think of those?
Yeah, so obviously, if we talk about the Kansas City, my conspiracy theory that I teed up at the top is, I think without Brett, I think that without Aaron Rodgers in New York for the Jets, that was supposed to be the feature that was going to get all the eyeballs coming to the NFL, that maybe Roger Goodell is the one who actually was the matchmaker, got Taylor Swift in there to start dating Travis Kelce. So now she can be in the booths of all these games, and now all the Swifties are coming in watching all of these games and really helping the NFL from a revenue perspective since they're missing out on the Aaron Rodgers coverage. But there's no doubt the sharp money was absolutely taking the New York Jets. They took it at 10. They took it at 9.5. Some spots this thing is down to 8.5. There's no reason that we should not see a win here from the Kansas City Chiefs unless they just don't show up. Now, I don't know what strategy the Jets are going to bring offensively because this defense has absolutely had it with Zach Wilson. So are they going to be conservative and try to hide him, or are they going to just stick him out there and say, Zach, if you want to stay our starting quarterback, you got to go out there and throw the ball and try to win us this game? That could result in more turnovers. That could also result in a couple of big plays at times. But I think that the Chiefs are certainly much better than other people realize on the defensive side of the ball, and they're going to do a really good job eliminating Zach Wilson. No surprise there. With the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Patriots, I think the Patriots defense can do some things to help slow down this Dallas Cowboys offense. Keep in mind, though, what I said earlier in the show, the Cowboys have the best offense at getting into the red zone. It's what happens inside of that red zone that they've been struggling with. Unfortunately for them, the Patriots excel defending plays inside of the red zone, and that's going to be a big difference maker. I think this game entirely comes down to how often the Cowboys are winding up scoring touchdowns when they're down inside of the red zone.
How do you think Washington will look in Philly? They look terrible against the Bills.
I mean, be looking to back the over in Sam Howell's sacks, because he just does not have that clock in his head as to when to get rid of the football. And he's going up against a pass rush in the Philadelphia Eagles that does not really have to dial up pressure, doesn't have to scheme. They just got dudes up front that can overpower that Washington Commanders offensive line and apply pressure on Sam Howell. It's not easy to win when you got pressure, but I look at a quarterback like CJ Stroud and his offensive line, 4 of the 5 starters are down and they're still figuring out a way to get it done. So Eric Bieniemy needs to step up here and figure out an alternative way to get the ball out of Sam Howell's hands a little bit quicker, to dial up some pass plays that are going to see some success here. But you know, if anything, I'd be looking to the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe in the first half, but I have no interest in the full game spread here, laying the Eagles with this many points, because in desperation mode, you never know how Washington's going to be able to do in terms of getting back into this one.
You think Minnesota will finally win a game? They're at Carolina.
I think they do, and I was going to be backing the Carolina Panthers, but they're going back to Bryce Young. And Bryce Young is not a quarterback that I want to be backing right now. I want to be fading him, but I'm not laying it with the Minnesota Vikings on the road. I was going to take the over and back Bryce, back the Panthers if they weren't going back to Bryce Young. In this case, I'm passing on the game entirely.
When we come back, we'll hit the Raiders-Charger game in Inglewood and Seattle and the G-Men, which is the Monday night game this week. We'll hit both of those games with Warren Sharp. I mean, this guy, he's hit everything. If you're not ready for pain day now, there's got to be something wrong with you. It's you. You're the problem.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Remember, at Sharp Football, sharpfootballanalysis.com. You got to remember these things because I know you're already probably on the forgotten side of those issues we discussed earlier. All right, Vegas at the Chargers. I'm seeing Chargers minus 5, 48.5. And then Seattle at the G-Men Snoopy Monday night. That game, Seattle laying 1.5, 47.
This Chargers game right now, this line is basically a middle line because we don't know yet if Jimmy G is going to start. And so if Jimmy G goes, this line drops down to 4, maybe 3.5. If Jimmy G doesn't go, I could see this line getting as high as 7. So if you want to take a stab right now, I don't like taking the stab necessarily, but if you just want to roll the dice and have a little bit of opportunity, there's an asymmetric risk to taking the Chargers right now. On the other game, the Monday night game, this is an interesting game with the Giants because the Giants are right now, they are losing in the first half 63-6. That's the score of their opponents. They have the largest deficit at halftime in the NFL through their first 3 weeks. And this was a problem for them last year, and they haven't fixed the problem this year. They've got to get off to faster starts, which is exactly what I was saying earlier. The unique part about this Giants defense is that they have blitzed on an NFL high 285 dropbacks, but have only gotten pressure on 171 of them. No team is having unanswered pass rushes as much as the New York Giants have. And Geno Smith thrives on these conditions. They push the ball deeper down the field a little bit. I might be looking for a longest completion over once we see some of those props come out, because I think there's going to be opportunities for these blitzers to not hit home and Geno Smith capitalize down the field.
They looked good last week in Seattle at Lumen. I thought they handled Carolina. I thought Geno looked good. They were pounding the rock. I think Kenneth Walker's a badass.
He is. He just needs to be a little bit more consistent, and that's what I'm sure they're working on here. The way to beat the Giants, you can do it on the ground or through the air. They're very bad defense right now.
All right, Warren, you're unbelievable, honestly. Like, I feel like I don't even need to do the rest of the show. I just want to go eat food and just make a bunch of bets at BetMGM. Thank God for you, Warren. God bless you, Warren.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.